Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about our two guests on the show this half hour because we're going to talk about somebody who is a very well-known American to many people. To some people, he's like a mythical figure because of what he accomplished, and he's in his place in history. But to those of us who know a little bit about music, especially folk music, and who know a little bit about 20th century music, you know all about Woody Guthrie. And I'm excited to have his daughter Nora Guthrie on the show with us today, as well as Peter Frumpton, who is the producer, director, and writer of a PBS special that's on the air tonight called Woody Guthrie Ain't Got No Home. Nora, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
It's good to have you here, Nora. And Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have both of you here. And as you probably know, Peter, we've done quite a few PBS presentations on the show where we've talked about shows that were coming up from Channel 13 there in New York. And we're glad to have you guys here. Peter, before we get Nora, I want to ask Peter, what was the purpose? What made you want to do the Woody Guthrie documentary?
I just found Woody's story to be extremely compelling. And as I talked to people, I did a little bit of research about Woody years and years ago. And as I started talking to other people, I realized that a lot of my contemporaries didn't know what an interesting, complex, and compelling character he was. So I thought it would be nice to get that word out.
Complex, Nora, doesn't quite get it, does it?
chaotic genius. There's lots of words people have used to describe Woody Guthrie.
Well, I think probably all of those things. What a lot of people, though, unless they're like me, and they kind of try to study these things and keep up with folks like Woody Guthrie, who had such an important impact on so many of our lives. A lot of people didn't know that he really started out, even though he was a singer kind of all along, I guess, he really thought of himself, as I remember, first as a painter.
That's right. As a matter of fact, when he first traveled across country, when he left the Dust Bowl area to go to California, it was with his paintbrushes that he carried in his pocket, not his good old guitar in the beginning, to try to work his way across painting signs and stuff for room and board in exchange.
Exactly. And I don't want to give too much of the documentary away, Peter, but folks, these are some of the things you're going to learn tonight when you see the show. Peter, what time is it on Eastern Time?
It's on 9 o'clock in most cities, but you should check local listings.
Local listings, because PBS has the ability to move that around, don't they?
That's correct. Yeah.
In the states and in the local areas. So, and it's called Woody Guthrie Ain't Got No Home. You know, Nora, take a moment and tell us a little bit about your dad. What you know about him, and what you'd like for America to know about him.
Well, you know, John Steinbeck used the phrase "the American spirit" when he described Woody, mm-hmm. and that is a very interesting spirit that's in a lot of American artists, and Woody's kind of the quintessential one in a way. There's kind of half freedom loving, but half caring and union organizing.
It's, right.
You know, sometimes these things can be all encompassing, actually, and kind of. You know, very large in spirit, not easy to catch like a butterfly sometimes.
Well, you know, Peter, I grew up as a teenager and in college. Part of my college was in the '60s, and I sang a lot of folk songs, and I was singing a lot of Woody Guthrie songs. But I, you know, in those days, I really didn't. And I wonder. I think most people don't think of him as being. A protest type of singer, somebody who was protesting, but he always had, whatever he'd say, there always was an edge there, wasn't there?
Well, there was certainly an edge, and there was often a message, and I think, you know, you don't want to pigeonhole him as just a protest singer.
No.
Certainly a guy who sang lots and lots and lots of songs about important issues of the day, whatever they were, and he sang these songs over a period of time, and the issues changed, but he always had something important to say about what was going on.
Well, and Nora, there was something I didn't know until I did some research for you guys being here today. I didn't know that he, when he wrote This Land Is Your Land, which is one of my favorite folk songs of all time, and I can't tell you how many thousands of times I've sung that song with my guitar, but he wrote that song as a reaction to a song that he didn't like. Tell us about that.
Well, he was traveling across the country, and at that moment, you know, the country was going through, so many people going through the great Dust Bowl migration, where people had lost their farms to these natural disasters, and after generations of living on the land, they had to leave their homes, and kind of the story of Tom Joad and the Grapes of Wrath, mm-hmm. which happened to hundreds of thousands of people. And these people just had such difficult lives, and so they're out there kind of making their way in their old jalopies, 10 people on a jalopy with whatever possessions they could take with them, and had a lot of hardships along the way. And as Woody was traveling across the country during these years in the late 30s and early 40s, there was a very famous song, God Bless America, that Kate Smith was singing on the radio that was a huge, huge number one hit at the time.
It was almost a national anthem, wasn't it?
It was, yes. And, you know, here he was going, I'm not seeing much of this.
I can't stand that song, he said.
I'm seeing like a lot of homeless people, a lot of hungry people living off a can of beans, a family of 10. And so really, this land, to be honest, is even as much as it might be a reaction to God Bless America, which he was having a hard time seeing at the moment, it was really a song of hope for these people not to give up, that this land was also made for you and me and for them and for the poor, et cetera. And it was really a rallying song for so many people to get around to say, don't give up, keep the strength.
Well, and you know, apparently, the way Woody produced things, Peter, even though it may have had an edge, even though it may have been in protest, it seems to me that he really was able to deliver these things without making, you know, a lot of people mad.
Well, his message was sometimes very subtle, and there are a lot of different messages that you can take from his words. So sometimes he didn't make people mad, and I think that there were times when he sometimes did. There are stories, for example, of him singing at Hootenannies when he's got a very, very pointed song that he's singing, and he's only playing one chord for the entire song. And he's kind of, you know, making people focus on the lyrics that he's saying, because he was very, very concerned with his words. And he could be very kind of in your face in getting his message across to you.
Another thing that I think about when I think of Woody Guthrie is earthy. And when we come back after these messages, I'm going to get Nora Guthrie, Woody Guthrie's daughter, and Peter Frumpton, the producer, director, and writer of Woody Guthrie Ain't Got No Home. I'm going to get them to talk about the earthiness of Woody Guthrie. Stay with me. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with Nora Guthrie, the daughter of Woody Guthrie, who we're talking about today, and Peter Frumpton, the producer, director, writer of the PBS special Woody Guthrie Ain't Got No Home, which is on television tonight on PBS at 9 o'clock Eastern in many places, but check your local listings for that. What's it, an hour long, or is it a little more than an hour?
It's 90 minutes.
That's right, 90 minutes. Yeah, that's right. It's longer than an hour. Nora, when I think of your dad, I think of earthy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good way to describe him?
Absolutely. You know, there was a time in this country where almost everybody sang or played an instrument. It wasn't an entertainment industry so much in those days, with recording deals and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Woody's family, his father, his mother, everybody played music. And I think that's what you're touching on when you talk about earthy. You're talking about real people who have regular jobs, whether they're farmers or industry or whatever, but they also sing, and they write, and they're creative in their spare time. You know, before television, everything, everyone at the end of the day came home, mm-hmm. and they'd sit around and make music together.
Out on the porch.
Yeah. And
they'd do it out on the porch, and the neighbors would come over.
Right. That's how Woody learned music. So when you say earthiness. It's not a contrived kind of thing. It was really the way they lived, and that's the sound of their music.
Exactly. And also, Peter, when I think of Woody, I think of paradox, because, you know, here was a man who loved his children, but he was on the road a lot. Here was a man who protested World War II, but actually wound up doing some service for World War II.
I think that's exactly right. There are lots and lots and lots of paradoxes in Woody, in his politics, in his personal life, in the way that he expressed a lot of his principles, and he was an incredibly principled guy. But, you know, none of us is completely consistent. None of us is completely perfect, and Woody certainly wasn't. But he was a guy who lived out his passions to a very, very powerful way.
Well, Nora, Peter just shot me down here. I was thinking I was perfect. Now, I would like to give out some websites here. Go ahead, Nora. Give us you can give us the Woody Guthrie website
Want. Yeah, the Woody Guthrie website has a lot of stuff for students to look at in terms of biography, photographs, lyrics,
some wonderful photographs
about the Woody Guthrie archives, and also about all kinds of upcoming events in America and around the world that might have to do with Woody's music. What? And it's simply woodyguthrie.org. Some people thought he was a .com, but he's a .org.
And also, you want to talk about, before we do that, Peter, you have a website you want to give us?
I don't have the exact URL now, but if you search on American Masters and PBS, you'll find the American Masters website, and the Woody Guthrie site is featured on that right now.
Sounds good, and that's on PBS tonight, folks. Your father, Nora, died much too young, 55 years old, in 1967, as I remember.
Right.
And from Huntington's disease, is that right?
Yes.
And tell us about that disease. It's the same thing that his mother had, right?
Right. He, you know, in those days, again, there was no research done on Huntington's disease. There was one little paragraph in a medical journal about this disease. And Woody's mother had it, but they didn't know that that's what it was. And she was actually sent to an insane asylum in Norman, Oklahoma, as she showed symptoms. And that's where she passed away. And many years later, when Woody started to show symptoms, again, nobody knew what it was. They thought he was drunk. They thought it was alcoholism. They thought it was all kinds of different things, because the symptoms of Huntington's are basically loss of control, and he developed a swagger and a slur, which could easily be interpreted as being drunk, actually.
Loss of mental and physical control.
It took many, many years to try to figure out what was going on with that disease, and now they know a lot more about it.
And your mother has founded, she was one of the founders of the Huntington's Foundation, wasn't she?
Yeah, and I just want to tell you a quick story about her, because the day my dad died, my mother was a dancer all of her life, not a medical person at all, and the day he died, she hit her fist on the kitchen table. I was standing right there, and she said, you know, I've got to do something about this, and she went out and founded the International Huntington's Disease Society of America now, which is one of the major genetic research organizations in the world. And it just goes to show what one person can do with some perseverance and some passion.
Well, and that you got that in doubly then from your mother and your father. How many brothers? Now, Woody had how many children?
He was married originally in Pampa, Texas, and had three children. And then later on, many years later, when he came to New York, he remarried, and that's my mother, and had four children with my mother. And the first girl actually passed away
Kathy.
In a fire. Yeah.
And then which ironically was the way his older sister had passed away. As I remember. And then so there were seven children.
Yes.
All together? All right.
Yes.
What would you like to say about Woody as we wrap up?
I'd like to say that he's worth taking a look at again, because he says something about, he teaches us, you know, Bob Dylan once said, if you listen to Woody Guthrie's songs, you learn how to live. And that is worthy of investigation when someone that interesting and magnificent as Bob Dylan says that about
someone. It's hard to imagine anybody who influenced Bob Dylan more than Woody Guthrie. And Arlo Guthrie, your brother, is a great singer, of course, and I love his City of New Orleans rendition. Peter, wrapping up, what are your last thoughts on Woody?
Well, I'd just like to echo Nora and Bob Dylan, that Woody really does teach you how to live. I mean, he's made me think a lot about what I do with my life and what my principles are and how to live them out on a day-to-day basis.
Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you there's nothing better on television tonight than Woody Guthrie. Ain't got no home. You heard it here first. Nora, God bless you. Good luck in all the things you're doing. And come back anytime. Peter, my microphone is your microphone.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Jim.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Quick break. Right back with Lynn Morella. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.